Hello, hello. Thanks for listening to Guidance Counselor 2.0. Listen, I want to give you a quick rundown of what this podcast is and what you're about to get into as you listen to these episodes. We had guidance counselors in middle school. We had guidance counselors in high school, but we didn't really have guidance counselors in college. And now as professionals, we don't really have anybody to turn to ask a quick question, to learn something about the job search or to navigate your career. And so that is what I want this podcast to be for you. I want it to be a tool for you to navigate the job search and your career. So that being said, I hope you enjoy this episode. And if you need to reach me, Taylor@vaco.com is how to get in touch with me. Old fashioned email, social media at TDESSEYN. And finally, please rate and review this in the App Store because I want this to be discoverable for others so they can navigate their careers. Hope you enjoy the episode.
Let's give the people what they want. Who are you? What do you do?
Okay. All right. So, so I'm Adam Murray. I am currently a senior product manager at Cloudflare, working on our workers platform, specifically focused on developer productivity. So we want to reduce any friction points that developers might have with using workers. And I can get into what Workers is later, but beyond that, I am a dad. I've got 6 kids, so believe it or not, which is kind of crazy.
Bro, you got 6 kids? I remember you had 6 kids. Yeah. I got 1 2.5-year-old, and it seems like 6.
Yeah. So I my oldest is 15, and my youngest is 1. So I mean, you know, like I've got if there's a kid at a stage of development, like I've got the kid.
That's awesome. Well, you're now my go-to for all parenting resources. That's good to know.
My wife and I, we've been married for 17 years. We've lived overseas together before. Like we were expats for a few years over in Western Asia and stuff. And so we've kind of been all around. I have a long history with engineering and really working with across the software development cycle. I mean, I started doing it, I don't know, maybe 13, 14 years ago, kind of got into it by accident. I actually have an undergrad in cultural anthropology, which is kind of weird. And linguistics. Okay. It's studying cultures and studying like why people do what they do. Culture affects that. So it's actually really, I love it. But linguistics is one of my minors. And, I don't know, 14 years ago, I had a friend that said, "Hey, I need a website. Have you ever like built one of those or anything?" And I had never done it, but I've just always been somebody that's not afraid to break things and not afraid to at least try, right? Like give it a shot. And so I remember just jumping in and, you know, first time I opened up Notepad and my old like Safari, like, you know, like whatever the old like white laptops were, you know, and I was just hooked. Like I just started typing in, you know, HTML and just like, oh my gosh, I can see this thing in Safari. And then I started typing in like, oh, I can make it green and red. And like this instant gratification just took off. And so that's how I got into software development. And since then, you know, I've done engineering. I've been an engineering manager. I've done site reliability. Now I'm in product. I've done everything.
So I want to ask. So first off, isn't Cloudflare like the thing that runs the internet? That's what I've heard.
that's what
Cloudflare does.
People ask me what I do, and I do. I say I build the internet. So like, I really like that that analogy. I tell people like, I think of it in terms of Legos, right? So I get to build the Legos and I get to hand them to people and let them build the cool like castles or build the, you know, the skyscrapers or like whatever it may be. And so, so Workers is really cool. Workers actually is its own runtime. And so you give us the code, you give us your code and it runs on the Cloudflare's edge network. And so our edge, we have about 200, our network's in about 275 cities. And we brag that we're about 50 milliseconds from about 95% of the world's population. So, I mean,
that's crazy.
It's incredibly fast. And it just, I mean, the amount of data that's coming through Cloudflare, I think it's something like 20 to 30% of the world's like of the internet requests that actually come through Cloudflare in some way or other. So, it's the scale of what Cloudflare is just amazing. I was about to say that.
The scale of having what you're trying to solve is on another level.
Yeah.
So let's dive in for the first main topic. So one of the reasons why we got reconnected was because I had somebody in my network go, "Hey, who's made the transition from software to product?" And then of course I tweeted and you slid in my DMs. So I want to ask what got you into product? Let's start there. What got you into product or what made you go down that route?
Yeah, it's a really funny story, actually. One of the first startups I worked at here in Nashville was the entertainment industry. We had a little house like in Berry Hill and we built websites for for musicians. Like we worked with Sony Music and Universal and it was a handful of us that were, had been doing that. And we had built this custom, really it was a product. It was the first product I'd ever worked with. We built this custom Drupal, installation, and you could push a button and have 80% of the website spun up. I mean, that's merch store, fan club, like all of it just with the touch of a button. It was so cool. And all it needed to be was themed and designed. And so, that was my first kind of experience working with a product. Well, I left that company because I got a recruiter reached out to me and said, "Hey, I got this healthcare gig that I think you'd really like." Now, that was my first experience with a recruiter. They didn't know who I was. They didn't know what I like. I can tell you corporate healthcare is not the gig for me. Okay. I can just tell you. So about a couple of months after about that, I guess that's not even on my resume. A couple of months in that gig, I was like, I got to get out of here. I cannot keep doing this. And so, you know, no problem for anybody that works in that industry. If that's for you,
sure.
You know, please, yeah. Like that's
each insane. Their own.
Yeah, exactly. It just wasn't for me. And I also worked like at the company, I was the only web developer. So no one else spoke my language. Like everybody else was big data. Everybody else was. So it was very like kind of a lonely environment in the way that it was set up. And so I reached out to my friend at the old company and I said, "Hey, I need to get my job back. Like I need to come back. I kind of miss what I was doing." He said, "Well, we don't have your old job because it's already been hired out, but how about you come back as a product manager?" And I was like, "Product manager, like what is that?" And like any good dev, he said, "Well, Google it, right? Like, I'm not telling you what it is." So I went on and I Googled what a product manager was, and I found out Google has tons of resources on that. And so, and I was like, I started reading it and realizing this is really exciting to me. Like, this is kind of what I want to do. It's more in terms of, instead of just doing the tasks, it's like figuring out why we're building what we're building and right. Like leading the team to like figure out in like what order are we delivering these things. And so for me, that just like, it just activated a part of my brain that I really hadn't thought about a whole lot before. And so I ended up coming back, working on product, implementing a lot of like agile stuff, which is just kind of, you know, been something that's really resonated a lot with me as an engineer, developing incremental changes, you know, for the users. And so we implemented, you know, those kind of agile methodologies. We got roadmaps. We provided visibility to the CEO and the C-suite. We had like quarterly plannings where we do, and it was a small company, like 20, 25 people, you know? And so like all that for me was really exciting. But I also, at the same time, I didn't want to lose my ability as an engineer, you know, and that kind of scared me.
Sure.
Because I just had always had this mentality of like, technology moves so fast. If you stop for 6 months, you're almost obsolete, you know, in a way.
I know.
And so that always scared me. And so as a result, I kind of just drifted back into engineering. And I did that for, I would say, like that was probably, how many years ago was that? 6 or 7 years, maybe even longer from where I am now. And okay. So I got back into engineering and stuff, and I love it. Like I love doing side projects and all that stuff. But when the opportunity came to actually do product again at Cloudflare, I was like, this is something. And I had started kind of thinking about that before I applied at Cloudflare, but it was, again, knowing that that's something that's always been, you know, like really exciting to me.
Yeah. What's some tips for folks who want to get in or maybe want to move to product that are on the engineering side, or maybe just some things to keep in mind?
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the things that's a really good question.
like three things to consider before jumping into product if you're an engineer currently.
You know what I would write. So at Cypress in my last gig, I kind of worked all three. I kind of said I had the magic cheat code. Like I was an IC, you know, developer on the projects, and I was also the engineering manager, and I was the product manager on a smaller team. Okay. And so I got to decide what we built and then actually build it, which is a lot of fun. Yeah. So I think I would recommend, you know, if you have a side project or you have something like that, to kind of flex those product muscles a little bit on maybe on something on the side or something that you have, you know, that's for me was really useful in actually creating some or having an open source project that I worked with. Open source has been fantastic in my career to that end and knowing the different pieces of it and working with the community, because at the end of the day, as a product manager, you know, I work so much with our customers, and not just, you know, like all sorts of paying customers all the way from enterprise all the way down. I work with people that are thinking about becoming customers. I'm constantly in our Discord. I'm constantly like talking on Twitter, like you're saying, like, so I'm in all those places. And as an engineer, you don't always think through that, especially if you're like in an internal, you know, engineer sure. working at a company. So that open source, you know, kind of stepping out a little bit and putting yourself in front of the community is, I'd say, is a huge, huge win.
Would you say that, would you say that product, if you're wanting to kind of get out of the lines of code and maybe want to see the bigger picture, and that's something that's, you want to see how everything works, is that, would that maybe be a good indicator to move down this route? Cause that's what it sounds like. It sounds like, not all, I'm not going to speak in blanket statements, but for the most part, if you're an engineer, you're relatively heads down. But I feel like product, you get, you kind of lift your vision from like in the code to what else is going on.
Yeah. One of the things, you know, that, that I had done too at Evidence Care, I think was a really good, and not just at Evidence Care. That was, it's, Evidence Care, I had a chance to do site reliability engineering. Okay. And what I did there was, I kind of sat in between the business and product and engineering. And I heard the businesses problems that they were running into. And then I knew where engineering was, and I was able to kind of, I was able to build some processes and things like that to ease both sides. And I think as product, you know, I think I hear the lot, like product is kind of like this glue, you know, position. And part of that is because it's constantly collaborating upon among all the different departments.
Right.
You know, I mean, you should, you know, we say, like, I think somebody said the other day, like PM stands for like plenty of meetings. And I have like,
I've never heard that.
Oh my goodness. I have so many meetings, but it's, but they're not pointless meetings, which I guess you could also say PM's pointless meetings, but they're not all pointless. They're actually really useful because I'm meeting with all different departments and I'm meeting with all different teams trying to like align my team. And that's what I kind of, I met with one of, you know, when I first joined Cloudflare, I was really quick to do one-on-ones with each and every one of my, you know, on my team members.
Right.
And, you know, having that engineering background, I know the importance of those one-on-ones and that like FaceTime, even though like we're in the code a lot, like the FaceTime at the end of the day, like I tell people, software is people, right?
Right.
And so, having that important one-on-one time to say, like, I understand what my role is here. My role is not to say how it gets done, but my role is to say like why it gets done. Right. And that's my role as our PM, is to help our team understand like, why are we building what we're building? And like, where do we want to go in the long term with that?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's something that I've had to step back as an engineer. I say, I don't want to say former engineer, cause I'm still an engineer. I still build lots of stuff.
Sure.
But I've had to step back from my team specifically. And like, I'm say, hey, I'm not going to review your PR. Like, I'm just not like, can I review your PR? Absolutely.
Sure.
Will I do that? Is that my job? No. My job is to like, you know, kind of my job's different now, you know? And so I had to step back. That's one, I guess, danger of kind of coming from the IC world and having to like step back and be willing to do that.
What? So let's pivot a little bit. And for everybody who's turned in, it's great to see y'all, you know, a ton of people, Martha, JC, Stephanie, Yolanda, Eli,
hey, Eli. Barrett,
Ivan, it's great to see you. So let's talk even further out, right? Getting into tech. I mean, it's something that you and I chatted with afterwards, and it's something that I'm really trying to get loud about. I kind of go through seasons of trends of what I'm loud about. And this is one of the things that I'm going to talk a lot about more, is that you don't always have to be a developer to get into tech, right? There's a ton of other areas. And for you, I think you've held every position but a recruiter. So I mean, what are your thoughts? What are some words of encouragement to people who maybe are sitting and watching this at home being like, you know, I've submitted 500 applications as a software developer. Well, that's your first problem, but, you know, I can't, you know, or cause listen, there's some junior devs I've helped that can't, that just don't have the chops to get into development. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about other areas within tech that they could look at?
Yeah. We talked about this before, but I think that, like a lot of times I'll have new developers or people that are kind of just starting to think through their career, and they'll come to me and they'll say, hey, I want to get into development. And that is such a large term. So I kind of stop them and I say, well, what part of development? And usually it's like, I don't even know where to begin. Right. Like, what does that even mean? You know, like, cause they just, whatever it is they've had in their head, you know, that's just, that's all they're thinking about. And so, I think there's so many things that you can get into development. That's not, or into really, I say development, but software development, that isn't necessarily like the engineering itself. You know, you can get into, again, you can get into product management. There's like program management, there's project management, there's like, there's marketing. Like there's so many sales. Places. What's that?
Sales.
Yeah. Sales.
Like kind of the cloud DevOps side, site reliability.
Yeah. There's QA. There's customer success. There's QA. There's lots of other paths.
Hey, by the way, Barrett just got a new job. So Barrett, shout out you, former guest of the show. He just landed a new job. So congrats, buddy. But yeah, QA tester. I place a lot of junior devs in QA roles, QA tester roles.
Yeah. Another one that we see, like, I think is, you know, the customer success engineers and that kind of, that kind of like is another path for that, because you're learning to talk to those engineers, and you're learning to talk to the customers, you're learning to see what their pain points are, and usually take that to engineering. And so you're kind of seeing all the connection pieces as well.
And I'm glad
BA is great.
Yeah. Like, I didn't know what a business. So I'm going to be honest with you. If I was in college and somebody taught me what a business analyst was, I probably would have gone business analyst. Because business analyst, I feel like, is like techie, but not techie. And you get to work with people.
Yeah. They're business analysts. Another one that we work, that I work heavily with is like a UX product design, like UI, like UI design like that. I mean, like that's invaluable to what I do, right? Like cause I can have ideas and stuff all day long, but like having the validation out there to actually see, to run these experiments and to see how things go. Like, I think those are all like, there's so much out there, and it's part of it is being willing to explore, being willing to try things out. That's what, like I said earlier, like one of the things, I've never been afraid to break things. And I tell people that's probably why, like, one, I've never been afraid to break things. And two, I'm really good at Googling things. And I think these are two of the things that have helped me most in my career.
That's a quote right there.
It's just, and most people don't do that though. Like I look at, you know, and again, like the older generation, I think about my father-in-law or like others that really, like, they're afraid to touch a printer. They're afraid to touch a computer because they might break it. And you just, you know, I'll be honest. The first thing I broke, I remember the first day I ever worked from home. I killed Brad Paisley's website. Like I killed it. Like I literally white screened it.
Are you serious?
Oh, dead serious. Like I just, and it's the first day working from home. So like, it's not like a, you know, working from home is a common thing. And I just remember thinking like, there's a white screen of death on Brad Paisley's main production website. Like I'm going to die. I'm going to get fired, you know? And we brought it back, but you know, you can let those things make or break your career too, right? Sure. Like you can say, well, I'm not touching anything else. I'm not going to, you can't do that.
Right. Yeah. And then Eli comes in here going into support/success in an org is a great way to start working in tech. Yeah. And also too, I'm going to say this, being a recruiter. I mean, I've talked with, and this is going to lead me to my next question. I've talked with a lot of developers that are a little bit more senior in their career are starting to come to me and they go, hey, how do I become a recruiter? And I think I will tell you this, being a recruiter is wonderful, but you got to love people. And you also you just got to love people. If you don't love people, then it's going to be hard. But it's a great way to get in the ecosystem, because I get to hang out with guys like Adam all the time. So
management's the same way. I mean, I tell people that there's just a difference between like IC and management, you know, and if you're not really that people aspect of it is crucial.
It is 100%.
I joke. Everybody wants to be the manager until they're the manager.
And Barrett, would anybody know Brad Paisley? I'll tell you this. There's
his dad does. I can tell you that from experience.
Did you say his dad does? Damn. That's great. I want to kind of get into a topic that this is another kind of theme that I'm getting into. And I talk about it a lot about there's only so much money. There's only so many titles. At the end of the day, you have to love what you do, but know what you want to do. And I think because I've had conversations with a lot of people, they're like, you know, I'm at the point in my career where I've become disenfranchised with my job. Do I need to change careers entirely? You know, I don't really love what I do. I feel like there's more out there. I mean, as somebody who's kind of, again, held a lot of roles within tech, what would your advice be to those people who are kind of just feel like they're stuck and they don't know what to do?
I think the thing that's been most important is like that you kind of at the core, you keep the core, like where kind of like, whether that's in tech or whatever it is, you keep that core thing, like things can change around it. Like my job titles have changed around it. Right. But at the core of it, like I know about software development, like at the core of it, I know about tech. And some days, like, honestly, it's just a job. Like, even if it's the best job in the world, and even if it has the best benefits and like those things are all helpful and they're all good, but at the end of the day, it's a job, you know? And I think we've all seen that, especially with layoffs and other things recently, like you've got to keep that appropriate, you know, mindset, but like, where is it that you're heading? And for me, I want to be somebody who has a mastery of this specific space. And whatever that means, sometimes that might mean doing engineer. Sometimes that might mean product manager. Sometimes that might mean, engineering manager, like whatever that is. And those are places. I also, I think that something that I've had to learn how to do, and I don't know if it kind of feels tangentially related, but I've had to learn how to ask for what it is that I want. And that's something I've not been really good at always in my career, because I was just willing to kind of go along with, you know, like, let's see where it goes, or let's see. And sometimes, like, companies, they want you to ask. You know, sometimes people want you to, like, say, what is it that you need?
Yeah.
And then to put yourself out there.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think people got to take hold of their career more and not sit back. Go ahead.
No, I think that, you know, that was one thing. And you know, when I first started and I've interviewed, and you've, you know, I kind of think it's funny. I've been around the block. It's just true though. And I've gotten asked that before, like, why, you know, you're at a place for a year and a half, 2 years. And it's not been that I've wanted to leave. I'll say that. Like, there are places I've wanted to be at for the rest of my career.
Right.
But that's not always the, like, in this culture and this, like, time, that isn't the world we find ourselves in, unfortunately. Right. But what I've said to people is every job change I've made, it's either been for a promotion or like a job title change or a raise, you know, and usually both. And so there, what's the problem with that? And I tell people, wouldn't you take that opportunity if you had a chance?
100%. 100%. Do you feel like society puts too much pressure on people for their jobs to be their life?
I think it's a natural thing. I think we all want to make a difference. We all want to to have that, like, that there's a thing inside of us that that wants to, like, just to make a difference. And I think part of it, like, that's, we find that most through our job, because that's where most of us spend most of our time.
Right.
And so I think that that's just societal, but I also think there's just an internal impulse to do that.
Yeah. And have you struggled with that? I mean, I'm curious how you've been able to separate. I mean, listen, having six kids and I mean, you know, that's no joke. How have you been able to, cause you've had a very successful career in tech and you've worked at some really big companies, and I mean, you're at a great one right now. Mm-hmm. How are you able to balance and shut off and you know, try not to make work all consuming?
I think that it's been kind of hard at times. I'll say that, especially like working from home, which is my primarily what I do. And I've done it for like 6 or 7 years now. So making sure that I have a dedicated space in my house, that's my office, you know, when I'm off work, I shut the door. It's something that early on in my career, I will also say, I said this recently to someone else, I was very fortunate to have some friends that I worked with that, when I used to take PTO, that would make me take PTO and make me be gone. Like, so I wouldn't be able to, like, check in on Slack, or I wouldn't be able to, you know, make sure the emails were getting out, or like, they literally were like, stop doing this, you know, and almost like embarrassed me a little bit, like, to, you know, and I needed that though. Like, I needed people to say, hey, turn it off. And so, that's been very helpful. And I've tried to also provide that for people, because we just need, we need space that's not tech, you know? And I mean, I will say that early on in my career, you know, I guess where I'm at now, that's the view I have early on in my career. I pushed myself pretty hard. So like when I was first starting to learn how to do development, I was teaching, I was coaching full time. I had a baby, and all this stuff. And the only time I could work was like 9 to 1, you know? So like every time 9 to 1, my wife and I had an agreement, like that's when I'm going to be working on dev stuff, you know? And so there were times like that in my career that I've had to be on. But for the most part, I've tried to take that mindset. My wife has also been very helpful in that, to remind me of like, hey, this is where it's at, you know, like this is our house, our family, like this space right here, like this is really what matters. And so I've been very grateful to have a career that lets me, you know, tech, for me, I tell people this with tech, it's such an incredible industry, because, you know, you can really come from anywhere. It's just about, can you do the work, you know, in whatever capacity that is, and you can really prove yourself. And I think you can really make it in that. And you know, people could say it's a naive viewpoint, but I've seen that happen time and time again. And then on top of that, like, it gives us flexibility and freedom that we need too. You know, I've loved the idea of flex schedules, and that doesn't mean working 24/7 for me. That means like there are days where I need to take 3 hours because I've got some family thing, and I'll just make it up later, you know?
Yeah. I love that. And Barrett comes in it's so important. We're on PTO disconnect. Yeah. And I tell my team this and I try to do the same, even though I live on Twitter, which is hard to do sometimes. So let's kind of pivot a little bit.
Can I say this too? Find a hobby that's outside of tech. Like,
yeah, that's great.
The thing that I've seen by so many like people that are in tech is that they have these really cool creative hobbies outside of tech. But, you know, I would almost discourage a person unless you just love it, I guess. I mean, but don't make your side hobby building another project.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I have ice hockey tonight. So like,
there you go.
That's what I do. I want to kind of get into kind of some hiring. I mean, final thing I want to get across, and then we'll go into a little hiring. Okay. And then wrap it up. You've bounced around. You've had a lot of titles. Mm-hmm. How do I ask this? What is your advice to people who are like, I got to keep climbing the ladder, climbing the titles, because you've gone from like engineering manager, then you're like senior product manager. And, you know, I'm sure knowing you, you'd be fine going to IC as well. Mm-hmm. So like what, for the people out there that are just so dead set on titles, what would you tell them?
I don't know. It's hard because I think everybody's different in that. I tend to be more of a generalist. So I'm much more comfortable with that.
Okay.
And I think some people are. I would say that be very careful with titles, because I've also seen titles go the wrong way. Like, I've seen people make senior before they're senior. I've seen, you know, that kind of thing happen a lot, especially in the startup world, like where we just get these weird, like, I'm Ninja Rockstar, you know,
10 I'm a times VP of coder, engineering, like, and it's yeah. like you and one other guy. And it's like, no, you're. No.
Yes, exactly. And so it's like, I've seen the biggest thing with titles is I've just seen them hurt people. Same. When they were given prematurely. Same. And then, you know, the idea that you have to tell somebody, hey, you might have to back off that title a little bit. Like, maybe you're not senior, maybe you're mid-level and you've got to adjust that. People don't want to do that. And I understand it. I want to be, you know, get the title that I deserve. Sure. I hate that, you know, but that's kind of the way I've seen titles hurt people.
Listen, I'll just say this with titles. There's only so many of them. And then when you peak, then what?
Yeah. I've wondered about that before. So it's definitely a thought that I've had in my head. Like, what happens with that? So I don't know.
Yeah. I'll tell you this from a recruiter mindset. I don't care about your title. I care about what you're actually doing.
Yeah. So, I will say internally, I love the idea of career ladders. Like, I love the idea of like being very specific about like, so that people coming in know like what's expected of, you know, of a junior, what's expected of a mid-level, what's expected of a senior, and like where, and like staff and principal. I mean, you can go up as high as you want, but like, I love that and letting people know, because so much of that, I remember I worked for a company one time and every year we did performance reviews. The person told me, I can only give you a 3. Like, it was a scale of 1 to 5. And they're like, I can really only give you a 3. That's all they let us do. Like, it's like, what's the point of this performance review then? And it was like, well, you did really exceptional this year, so I'll give you a 4 in this area just to signify that I think you did a great job overall. And I'm just like,
this is a whole other podcast in and of itself.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. That's so stupid. Yeah. All right. So the last few minutes. And again, thank you for coming on. This has been, I knew this was going to be good. What's some advice for people who are interviewing? Obviously, as a leader who's done a ton of interviewing, what's your biggest piece of advice for folks?
My biggest piece of advice for folks is, I'll say the first thing was the biggest piece of advice I've ever gotten. If you don't know something, you can say you don't know something. It's really okay. Because I can tell when you don't know something. Like, if you just try to like tell me, you give me a 10-minute answer for a 1-minute question, I know that, you know, and I would just rather you say you don't know something. Because the thing is, I can teach people skills, you know, and I've heard that before, like in different contexts. So I can teach people skills. I think that's a big one. I think another one, let me think.
Any common analogy you see time and time again when you interview folks?
Oh, the other thing, well, I would say, you know, again, back to the, like, make your work public if you can, to some degree, like, even if you have something that's out there. I know I've been very frustrated at times when companies don't look at my GitHub profile, they don't look at, you know, things I've done in the past. That's very frustrating. But for me as a hiring manager, I love to see that stuff. You know, I love to see, you know, the community involvement and ways that you're out there kind of learning and doing things. I think that the biggest thing for me is, again, is about character. Like I said, I mean, skills are one thing, and we can train skills and all those kinds of things. But, right, but the biggest part of that is character. Like, who are you? Are you willing to learn? Are you willing to kind of, like, you know, to get in there and do whatever it takes and take initiative? Those are kind of the biggest indicators. And some of that is just like I said, getting out there and having a GitHub repo, having not even a personal site, but if you have a portfolio, you got something. Like, what, I mean, all that stuff's really important.
Yep. I love that. All right. So last two questions, as we wrap it up here. First off, any tech, oh, we got a question from Fritzen. What would you suggest to individuals whose job tasks get upgraded, but whose titles stay the same? Seen this a lot. Mm-hmm. Do they put what they are doing currently, for example, front-end engineers starting to do back-end work without their title at their current job? I have thoughts, but I'm interested in yours first.
I absolutely think, well, so where are we talking about update? Where are we talking about updating this? Like a LinkedIn or like?
Let's just say for this sake, like professionally on a resume or LinkedIn, because I think both are the same.
Yeah, I think that you absolutely need to put on there what work it is you're currently doing, even if it's not necessarily in your title. And I think that you need to reflect that. And I think, you know, even if your title is front end and you're doing back end stuff and you can show the back end work that you're doing, like you can say, okay, this specific project, here are the things I did as a back end. Now, that's not to say like one time you built one database and like now all of a sudden you're a back end engineer. Like, I mean, like if you're actually doing that work, then I would say like by all means, like you need to cite that and then to put specific examples.
Yeah, listen, Fritzen, there's gonna be nothing wrong with you taking away your front end engineer title on your resume or LinkedIn and just changing it to software engineer, and then in the bullet points, you know, leveraging React on the front end, Node on the back end, AWS, blah blah blah. Like that's what Adam and myself are gonna look at, right? If you have a front end title and you want to do more full stack work, I would just get rid of that title on your resume and your LinkedIn.
Yeah. And again, that point about adding the, which technology you've used and you're using, that's really important. But I will say, be careful with that. Cause like I said, if you put on there something that, you know, I mean, for my example, you put Cloudflare Workers, and for instance, I'm a PM at Cloudflare Workers, and I said, like, tell me about it. And you go, I don't really, it'll make me go, okay, well, what else is on here might be questionable.
Yep. I love that. All right. Second last question. What tech trends, things are you keeping an eye on right now? Or anything cool you're working on at Cloudflare that you're willing to share?
We're working on all sorts of cool stuff at Cloudflare. It's ridiculous the amount of cool stuff coming out of Cloudflare. I think that, you know, for me, just because I'm kind of getting into this space, is just the whole serverless stuff. The idea that, you know, like singular engineer can literally run an entire application, an entire stack, almost by myself, you know. And I think the ability for companies to do this and to not worry about infrastructure and to have it, you know, auto scaling and all that stuff, I mean, it's just, it really changes everything from my perspective, you know, because you don't have to have entire teams dedicated to these types of things. You can offload it onto someone like Cloudflare and let them handle it all for you. So that's, for me, I'm trying to figure out right now, you know, how do we make the decrease friction for users that are coming into that ecosystem? Because right now there's still a lot of like tech know-how. There's some barriers to like, what do I even do with this? You know? And so I'm figuring out how do we lessen those.
I love that. Last question, because this show is called Guidance Counselor 2.0, because we had guidance counselors in middle school, high school, and college, but now not so much. What would be your biggest piece of career advice for your younger self?
I think the thing has plagued me, and it's funny because people don't think about this a lot, but I've always struggled with imposter syndrome. Always.
Always.
Yeah. And it still to this day. And so, you know, it doesn't go away. But, you know, I think I've learned how to control it and manage it in a way. And part of that's just by putting myself out there. You know, like the things I tell myself in my head, like, oh, if you do this, somebody's going to say something. And obviously there are critical people, you know, like there's no way around to be on the internet and not have critical things, you know, that come out there. But just keep putting yourself out there. Just keep, you know, if you want to build something, you want to do something, just get out there and try it. Yeah. And I think same thing for content creation, the same thing for just anything that you really want to do. The worst thing you can do is just sit back and say like, what if, you know, like what if I don't, you know, and just to kind of like have that just stuck up in your head, like get out there and do it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. 100%. Well, Adam, thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. I got to bounce for another call. So I'm going to leave you here. Well, not here. I'm going to end it. You can go back today. But for those of you who tune in, thank you so much. Go connect with Adam on LinkedIn, on Twitter. You see his tag.
Adam, right there. Yep.
Yep. I have so the rest of this week. So tomorrow, I have a individual that's actually a brand new contact. Her name's Elena. She's actually in Japan right now. And we're going to talk about how to fit your career in your life, not backwards. And then Wednesday, I have Ashton Pfizer, who's doing amazing things. She's a speaker at Render ATL this year. Thursday, we're back with Unicorn Finders. And then Friday, I have a recruiter on. So busy, busy week. Adam, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Let's stay in touch. All right. See y'all.
Hey, you did it. You listened to an entire episode, and I am very grateful because you know why? There's a lot of podcasts out there. There's a lot of episodes, and I myself rarely finish an entire episode. So I appreciate you so, so much for listening. Quick reminder, please rate and review this podcast in the App Store. I want this to be discoverable to others, and the only way that happens is if you take the time right now and rate and review it. Please, like right now. Unless you're driving, then don't do it. So thank you again. If you need to reach out to me, taylor@vaco.com or at tdestin on all social media handles. And I hope you have a fantastic day.